Episode 496, August 24th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've got Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
We are back, everybody. I had a week off. Now we're back after 2 weeks, live together here in your beautiful studio, Joe Robinson. Good evening.
Good evening, my friend. We spent this past weekend with the Die Laughing crew, except for you and Robbie. You guys didn't participate.
Yeah, the two Robs.
Yeah, I was bummed out. We could have used you guys.
It sounded like you did just fine without us. We'll get into some of that. but tonight, we've had a lot of exciting things on this show. We've never had a song debut. Well, I guess we've had our theme song debut, right?
Yeah, I'm sure we've had multiple song debuts on here.
Yeah, Mac will tell you that there was a very, very well-known song debut that we're not allowed to
yes,
play anymore.
Yes, I know exactly okay. What song you're talking
Fair
about.
Fair enough.
And I'm sorry to mention this, but Gramps is very upset. He's in chat. He can't figure out how to be Gramps. He's nice local tonight.
God. It's so ridiculous.
Well, that's an outrage. Let's not even do the show then. Well, the song involves Gramps, because tonight Eric Woodworth will debut his song that you heard him record Gramps' audio here 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, right?
Yep, and it's I Hope I Never Get So Old I Flaunt My Peen in the Locker Room.
Good song title. Is Eric with us?
Eric is with you.
Look
He's
at
with
that,
all
folks.
Of us.
You now, know, Eric's brother... And the great Eric Woodworth's brother, Jeremy Woodworth, often sends us songs that are even specific to our show or to the people on the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say this, but they're so fucking horrible, we can't play them on here. And I swear to you, I would play even an unfunny song.
I think you can play the song that he sent to me because
it's just
ridiculous.
It's so hard to understand. If he would just spend any time... making sure the song could be understood, I swear we'd go ahead and play it.
When I listened to it the second time, I was able to pick up on it.
Is this it, Robbie?
This is it.
All right. This is
Jeremy's song about a joke of mine.
Sort of.
Good. Long lead.
This could be longer.
You might have made it with the entire basketball team.
You might have made it with the entire basketball team.
It might look like Canyon really mean.
It might look like the Grand Canyon.
Something.
The whale called Moby Dick.
Moby Dick?
Yeah.
But I don't care, there's a chance you didn't take. If you
What?
White, you stay tight.
If you're white, if what? If you go white, you'll still be white. But that's your joke, but
he sang it differently.
Isn't it very, very, Eric? Is it very, very, very?
Maybe in some need of maybe if I step in on producing some of the music that he creates, I think I could make a better finished product for him. Yeah,
I would 100% play it.
Also operates all of his recording the same way he recorded music in like 1988. So it's all analog. There's not one digital aspect to anything he does.
Look, I love the guy, and I'd like to take, listen, even if it would to suck, we could have fun with that. If it's funny, that's also great. But for it not to be understood, well, how the fuck are we supposed to do with that?
Look, that's an artistic decision, Joe. Can we get enough songs that we can put out a Rob and Joe Show album?
You know, they've had a Quality Time music episode where they only played songs that were specific to the that Jeremy and Eric did for the Quality Time show.
Nice.
And it was by far the worst episode of Quality Time. It's horrible.
Quality Time is your second favorite podcast, correct, Joe?
Well, it is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you shit on some of Jeremy's songs, and I'll admit some of them are rough.
Some.
But he has some pretty big bangers, 13 Ghosts and Docking with My Son. You've attested on more than one occasion. You almost got played at your wedding.
Yeah. No, I do like those songs, but let me just say that. But they could be better if they were easier to understand. Right, that's important.
Or they could be worse.
And by the way, this isn't like I'm not. You know, sometimes to be nice, you aren't honest. No. Every time I talk to Jeremy, I said, Jeremy, there's too much reverb. There's too much echo. You can't understand anything. Every time, I never back off. And he's like, well, you can go fuck yourself. I'm going to keep, I don't care if you understand it. This is my art.
It's almost every direction that you give him, he does the exact opposite.
Right.
He turns it up to 12 or 13 of what you told him not to do.
Almost like when we had him in our murder mystery and he did nothing that we asked him to do.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Show up on time.
Yes, right.
Directable.
One of my now there's a lot of. I was terrified one time. Jeremy actually had to fill in for Eric at the Annapolis Rams Head.
Oh,
that was,
gosh, terrifying!
And right before that, he didn't show up to the DC Improv game.
Yeah,
and so I had to go to Eric. I said, "Listen, I need to know. Do I need a Plan B?" And Eric's like, "I'll make sure he's there." Like, but that puts too much stress on Eric. Shouldn't have to worry about that,
no.
Right? So the next year, you go, well, why don't we just have him be the clown, right? Why don't you just have him do that? I'm like, okay, sure. I said, Jeremy, if you want, you can come. You can be the clown. So,
which is a role that if he doesn't show up, it doesn't affect the show at all.
Right.
It's a bonus.
And, of course, I remember he did show up. He came to one show the second year after he wasn't reliable. He showed up an hour into the show. He put all of his makeup on, and then as we were basically ending the show and passing out the team sheets or whatever, he went out there and did whatever he needed to do.
Killed it. Yeah.
And I gave him money.
But I'd like to point out, he's in the logo for the show.
That's true.
He's the face of the show.
Yeah.
He's the face of Die Laughing Productions.
No, I do love Quality Time, but if I'm being completely honest, I've stopped listening to it. Just for time reasons.
What?
But here's the thing. I have to catch up, but it's difficult. There's actually a segment dedicated to me listening, going, you know, you're wrong about this.
Oh,
you're wrong about
right.
this. This is wrong. What are you doing in lieu? I haven't been listening. What are you doing in lieu of Joe Robbins' corrections? Are you letting the audience know I'm not participating anymore?
I think Jeremy did a song about four episodes back that said there's no Joe Robinson corrections and that he was very sad that you were gone. We were hoping you'd eventually hear it, but now we just had to tell you.
Just what episode is it? I saw there's an episode out right now, and it's a movie that I'm really interested in. I can't remember what it is, but I saw that, and I go, oh, I'm going to listen to that. What's the most current episode?
Midsommar.
That's right, Midsommar. Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of Joe Robinson corrections, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and if I am, this won't be funny, but we did last Thursday night with 98 Rock, a Zoom happy hour thing with Justin Scott and Spiegel, Misha, their producer, Joe and I, Eric and Tommy. And I'm pretty sure that Eric had a line about referencing a Busta Rhymes video.
Yes, I know exactly what you're going to say.
And then, which was particularly hilarious, and then later on, either that night or that day, one of our Twitter fans tweeted about how hilarious that comment from Joe Robinson was and tagged you, and you just liked it.
I saw it, and I'm like, God, do I want to just sit there and fuck it. Like, you're right, I probably did owe him that, but since...
But the irony of you doing corrections and not correcting this, which gives Eric credit.
Yeah, well, what's funny, I think it had like two likes, so I'm like, who cares? I'll just leave it. But yeah, you're right, I probably should have given him credit, but I didn't. You know what kind of annoyed me a little bit? They talked about it the next day on 98 Rock.
Okay.
I thought it was fucking hysterical.
Yeah, everybody on the Twitter and Facebook comments was very complimentary.
I thought it was the best one that they've had.
Well, I've never watched one of them, but I believe that you're correct.
And Justin, as soon as he started talking to you guys, before I start, let me say, we probably shouldn't have let everybody in at the same time, okay? And I really didn't feel like people were talking over one another.
I agree, because you and I held back for a lot of times.
I heard, yeah, I noticed that. I said a little bit, I said more than you, actually,
yeah,
but not much more. And, you know, we picked our spots. Tommy really shined, right?
Yes.
Eric shined. It was really, really good, but I know Josh wasn't thrilled, because he's like, I didn't know what to do. So, not to be critical of Josh, he's built differently than me. If I'm part of something that's great and I don't shine, that doesn't bother me.
Well, Joe does the murder mystery. We know you're used to that, man.
Yeah, I don't do anything. Yeah, I do nothing. You're right.
Well done.
Nor do I give a fuck. Yes.
But I think Josh shines when you put the emphasis on him and the bit is around him. He's not someone who snipes. He's not a sniper who just, boom,
right,
gets in, the throws in a zinger.
But he was actually, the questions were directed at him to make sure that it involved
right
him. You know what I mean? And it's like, I get that he's not, but there's 10 people there. That means if you're on for an hour, everybody talks for 6 minutes. You follow? And Justin isn't going to talk for 6 minutes. He's going to talk for 20.
I thought so the flow was
It was
well.
Fucking yeah. perfect. You know, it was a little frustrating because it's like, God, what did it need to look like in order for you to be comfortable with it? And it's like, they want him there, and there's 10 people. And by the way, there's also listeners.
Yeah, I mean,
the fun part was making fun of the lady who was a custodian at Hartford County Schools,
yeah,
or the guy that was
the welder.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. It all, I thought it worked, but people didn't like it because they weren't part of it. And I don't want to be critical of Josh, but I thought it was excellent. And when they reviewed it, it came across as if it wasn't.
Right. Well, if you, it's probably still on their Facebook page.
Yeah,
probably
see if
still
you think
gonna
it's
watch
funny.
It. Maybe you should watch it, Robbie. Now, you mentioned at the top of the show that you guys had a little DLP outing.
We did.
And I believe when this the idea for this came about, I had a show. So I never considered doing it. And then my show got canceled because of the threat of rain, which has happened like 5 times now. And then I had completely forgotten that.
So you didn't have a show.
I didn't. But I had completely forgotten this was even happening.
So when we pulled up to this place.
Hey, Joe, did you guys already talk about this on the show, about Katie booking our reservation?
No, please do.
Tell people what this is.
First of all, there's this drive-in theater. It's up in Mahoning. It's called the Mahoning Drive-In. It's like in the middle of Pennsylvania. And we were looking for accommodations because you could camp there, but we were looking for a place to stay the night. Well, the closest place was a place called the Mahoning Inn, which is a motel 5 miles away from the drive-in theater that we're going to. And on their website, you can go there right now. It's themahoninginn.com. There's a page that says famous guests, okay? And on the famous guests page, the first page, it's said famous guests, The Sopranos, okay? Movie star Vinnie Vella with the owner Bill Singh and movie star Rich Rossi during their stay in May 2013. That's the first picture, okay? All right. I'll pose this to Rob and to Robbie. Name the other celebrities that have been there at this place.
Michael Winslow.
Okay.
Nobody yes. that big.
Rob, anything?
I'm going to go Eddie Money.
Eddie Money? Oh, very good guess. Both wrong. The other celebrities
Barbara
that have been
Eden.
There, the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. <That's Yeah. another.
laughs> Nice.
It's the other celebrities that have been there.
That's
but
strong.
Katie apparently called up to make us reservations saying, hey, I heard you guys keep celebrities and put up celebrities here. We're actually Die Laughing Productions, international touring comedy murder mystery troupe. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, we have no vacancies. And she, I guess at least what Katie told me is like, excuse me, have you heard of Billy Ray Paisley?
Now, here's what's interesting. They didn't have any vacancies, but then two freed up. So they called back because she said they're not going to be happy with me. She acted like she was our business
Good
manager.
Good job, Katie.
They called her back. They said we had two rooms. They said it's going to be $125 each. And Katie says on the website, it says 110. She goes, okay, 110. Okay. So we got the two rooms. 5 minutes later, Bill Singh, the owner himself, calls and said,
big,
hey, you got
big deal.
You got the wrong price. It's not 120. It's not 110. It's double occupancy, so it's 125. He's like, oh, I'm looking on your website, Bubba. He goes, all right, I'll give you a 10% discount. That was $2 extra a piece. So we end up paying $112 after speaking to Bill Singh. And we got there, and I'm pretty sure it's the worst. It's a motel. It's the worst place I've stayed in probably 30 years. What about you, Eric?
There are people that clearly just live there at the motel. Well, like, there was definitely a solid Pennsylvania 5 who was probably an ex-lot lizard, had no teeth in her mouth, maybe dabbled in the crystal methamphetamines, and she had a road-facing room there. And Tommy made the point, there's this guy who just walked really funny and said that he looked like he was actually a frog that just put on slacks and was like, hello, I am a human, and I walk around here at the Mahoningen.
One of the features of the Mahoningen is the shade tree.
Oh, yeah.
And when we pulled up, Tommy and Eric were under the shade tree together, sitting on a bench. And I thought about that. There are definitely people that live at the Mahoning Inn. They live there.
Yeah.
Well, they're not paying whatever 110 times 7 is,
of course,
right?
Not.
Instead of paying $770 a week to live there.
That would be a bad investment.
And actually, below us, there was an old, what do you think that guy was? Maybe in his 60s that was riding the three. It was a bicycle, but a tricycle, but it was a. What would you call that thing he was riding on?
Like a marriage between a tricycle and like a rickshaw. It had a basket in the back. He looked like he was ready to party though.
And he was in his 60s and he was riding down the main drag, riding that and smoking a cigar. Right,
that's good living.
And Katie goes, "Hey, nice ride." And what do you think the guy said? The 65-year-old man.
He said,
let me give you a hint. He's the opposite of Gramps.
He said, fuck off.
Basically, he goes, only room for one lady. And he kept on riding. He has rejected Katie. Not good enough, bitch.
I actually like that.
He thinks Katie's as pretty as Chris Restivo thinks Katie is pretty. You know what I mean?
Was that Restivo's grandfather? Yeah.
Yeah, Miggity Mac in chat is asking if it was a Swisher. No, it was a legit cigar.
Okay.
It was, definitely rolled to be made for sure.
What was the newest piece of furniture in the motel?
Man, hey, they had a survey in there, which was like it was a printout that was off-center with a golf pencil. You circled your shit and you put it in there. I gave it all 10s and I handed it in.
Did you make a Yelp review?
That, you know what? If I did, I would make an excellent.
Yes.
An excellent. It was also, we both had non-smoking rooms, and our rooms reeked of smoke. But anyway.
Do you know what else they had? They had, I haven't seen this in a hotel in at least 15 years.
Vibrating bed.
The local printed out TV guide. So you could
nice.
Yeah, you could leaf through it and find out what was going to be on that week.
Did you watch anything?
We did. I don't think we turned the TV on, did we? Hey, here's something.
No, I don't think so.
You guys want to guess the Wi-Fi password?
It's 1234.
Robbie, would you like to guess?
Password.
The Wi-Fi password didn't exist. You could just get on it.
Oh, nice.
Anybody could join it driving by. They could steal all your shit.
So somebody got it, Justin or Tommy, porn.
I'm sure they did. So I guess we probably shouldn't. We're going to debut a song, but let's tell a little bit about this trip real quick. So as we were going in, there was this lady at the front. She looked like a drawing. She had a midriff on, so her stomach was exposed. She had a knife.
Not a knife. Well, she had three knives on her.
Yeah, I only saw one, but it was not like a little. It was a legit knife.
Okay.
Okay.
40s, 50s?
20. No, 100% 20s, okay. Right? Early 20s, right, Eric, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely 20s.
Now, we're like, all right. And he goes, I already need to say. It's definitely a man, okay? Now, Justin had nailed it right earlier. I didn't notice, but it was 100% a man. And Tommy kept saying he wanted to go back and have sex with this person, right? But
well, I was riding with Tommy in my car. And when we heard this sweet lady's voice, Tommy leaned into me and goes, I got to be honest with you. That's not a deal breaker for me.
So we went and got our spot. And you're going to have to leave something to the imagination. But everyone except for Katie got obliterated.
Sure.
I mean, in a bad way. Like,
the youngest person is the most responsible.
Eric had to leave his car. He couldn't take his car. He had to crawl into the trunk when we eventually left. But there are so many things that happened. First of all, I met the closest people to us were about, what do you say, about 50 feet away, Eric?
Probably, yeah, about 50 feet. And then
the people with the
dog
were even...
started the adventurous one out of all us. Joe sees another family to our left, probably 150 feet away, and they have a dog that I looked at right away. I was like, I don't think that dog's to be fucked with. All right. Immediately. The dog had a vibe. Like, you
definitely
it's
a,
not
pit
a dog
bull.
That
yeah.
I would just go up and pet. And then Joe looked at it. He's like, I can sense his aura. It's fine. Let me go see this. He looks like a nice dog. So Joe just goes.
Well, let me say this. Is this dog friendly? Okay, because I'm not going to pet a dog that looks like that.
Of course
that,
not.
Unless, and of course, she said it's the sweetest dog in the world. Now, this dog was named after a condom. Now, it's not your first guess.
Okay.
So, if you guys want to guess, Eric knows the answer.
Can I name another condom?
Well, I assume Trojan is the
first
one.
That's the only one I can think of.
Well, Tommy guessed his name was Lifestyle's the dog.
Oh, yeah. Lifestyle.
I actually had him convinced that that was the dog's name. Lifestyle's the dog.
It's the one that Rob found, the Magnum.
No, but that was the second guess. And then Justin thought it was Durex the dog. But no, this dog's name was Ramsey.
I don't even remember that as a condom.
Ramsey's for sure is a condom. But anyway, I did pet Ramsey the dog. There's a lot of stories I can't tell. I could tell one. Nah, I'm not going to tell that. It's too
bonus deep. Show.
Maybe on the bonus show. Right. And I'm also not going to reveal the guilty party, but
gotcha.
But I'll tell that story. But the first person that I thought was the most gone was Eric. Because Eric was sitting in his chair and he was not talking.
Yeah, that's okay. A sign of something.
And I'm like, Eric is a fucking hammered. And I guess you got what happened? You got your legs under you? What happened, Eric?
Yeah, I got myself back together after the Goonies. You know, I was just so into the Goonies that I just couldn't be bothered. But then after the Goonies was over, I felt like I'd snapped out and got my second wind, and then poured some more alcohol on it, and I was all fine.
Hold
again,
on,
guys.
You were really watching the Goonies?
No, I wasn't.
So I do know one. Eric was talking to Justin, and he was telling him the story of Kenya when you guys went on the trip when you guys performed for the troops.
Right, we had like a 10-hour layover in Kenya. Tommy and I decided to just make the best of the airport. Air conditioning seemed like the best idea.
Right,
safe. Boring, yes, but safe. And then Patrick Melton and Eric Woodworth decided to see the sights of Kenya.
And that story has been told on this show. They also told it on 98 Rock. Yes. I mean, the story's been told.
I will eat your shit for shit.
Told multiple times. And, of course, Eric is gone, and so is Justin. And Eric is telling Justin the story, okay? And, of course, I'm up there going, are you fucking kidding me? Not only is Eric telling a story that I know for a fact Justin's heard 7 times, but he's also acting interested like he's never heard it before. And I'm talking to Tommy, and we're laughing. And Eric looks up, and he goes, you guys are shitting on me, aren't you? And I'm like, yes, motherfucker, you're telling this story for the 100th time. And Justin's like, yeah, I know. I wasn't going to say anything when I heard this story again. But the highlight, well, there's highlights that I can tell is... Eric went on a quest, and he got the world's best popcorn. It was a 10 out of 10. Perfect amount of butter, perfect amount of salt. I don't know how they pulled it off at this place. But after he came back, he goes, hey, I want to show you guys the projection room. Okay? And he takes us, I don't know how you found it, but God love you. He takes us to this projection room, and I'm telling you, don't exaggerate, the equipment that they were using. What year was it produced?
I got a good guess. So I'd say 1950s. Yeah. I think the place has been in operation since 1959, and I don't think that projector was a day over that.
So it was actual film?
Yes.
And were the movies on platters, or were they up and down vertically?
They were 35mm big old reel-to-reels.
And they were vertical.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
60s or 50s probably.
Yeah, and the people running them, they had to be in their 70s, who nobody else knew how to work this shit, right? But the guy, we went in there and we were looking in there, you know, no masks, we don't give a fuck or whatever. This guy comes out and he couldn't wait to meet us, and his name was Jeff. And where do you think Jeff was from?
Jeff is from Annapolis, Maryland.
Jeff is from Glen Burnie, Maryland. Okay. He lives less than 1 mile from where I live. And we are in the fucking Poconos. And the guy who's running this arcane projector is my next door neighbor. And he's like, oh, man, we should get together. And we're like, yeah, no way in hell this guy I'm ever going to reveal.
Is he listening tonight, you think?
I doubt he's listening.
I hope he is.
Are we going to glaze over what Justin tried to propose to Jeff, which was to put up www.fiveplatedclothing.com just for like 1 minute in between the movies?
Now, can you imagine trying to figure out how to do that on that equipment?
their 1959 projector doesn't have Wi-Fi.
They would need a month to prepare for something like that. They'd splice it in. Yeah, it would not be an easy
It would be
thing.
Worth it. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll debut the Eric Woodworth Gramps song, Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers and, as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Saturday, September 5th at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
I'm a big agitator. Big agitator. Big agitator. Big agitator. I'm shaming people all over the place. Well, that guy could have kicked my ass.
That's a stretch, my friend.
What? Who was that?
Mike Chamberlain.
Oh, I didn't even recognize who that was.
Yeah.
Great one.
Sorry, Mike. So, Eric, set this up for us. Your song, you're working on a new album during this whole quarantine.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously I haven't been going out and doing as many shows as most comedians have during this COVID-riddled world that we live in right now. But as a creative outlet, I have been producing what started off as just bits and songs for the Quality Time podcast, the Rob and Joe Sister Show. Now I realized that I had a couple of really good ones, and then I have a couple of that I've been kind of holding under my belt here, and I realized I have about 12 tracks that are in various stages of production, and so I'm working on a musical comedy album that I would say is about 70% done. The music itself is written, and now I'm just putting some final touches on everything, but it's still got to push it over the goal line. But I'd say this song here came about you know, whenever I'm in the locker room, I'm always used to seeing I've never not seen a naked old dude. I don't know why, that there's like an age where you hit where you're just like, fuck it, my dick's got to be out. This is how I live now. And I don't know why people, I don't know what it is about the elderly, they feel comfortable doing this. So I thought that I needed to make a song addressing this this phenomena.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I remember when the Holiday Spa was in the Annapolis Mall. Robbie, do you remember that? Do you remember that long ago when that was the case?
Indeed, I do remember the Holiday Spa.
And I got a guest pass. I'm never going to sign up for the Holiday Spa. And I go in the locker room, and who's in there but my old middle school assistant principal, Mr. Day, the great Larry Day. Do you remember Mr. Day, Robbie?
I do.
And he was naked as fuck, and I saw his cock and balls, and it was the most disturbing. And he goes, Joe, hey. I go,
not for me.
No. I'm like, and I say, I couldn't participate in that. We couldn't have a conversation, not even an awkward one. I was literally almost ran away. I'm not going to participate in that.
No, I'd be the same way. It's very uncomfortable.
Do you guys remember when we went to Las Vegas, and my friend Timmy picked us up at the airport, correct?
It was you and Justin.
My Asian friend, Timmy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So my friend Timmy, when we were young lads at the Supreme Sports Club, we were walking around, and there was always an old guy, always a naked old dude. Well, the sauna was right around the corner to get to the pool. So you'd have – there was like a blind turn you had to make, right, and then go past the sauna to get to the pool. Well, we were walking there to go hop in the pool. We got our swim trunks on. We're all the ripe age of like 11, 12 years old, and – a naked guy comes out who's at least 65 years old, comes out of the sauna, and they have a full collision with my friend Timmy. And they both topple to the floor next to, on top of this naked guy.
Did their cocks touch during the collision?
No, I mean, he was still – he had swim trunks on, but he was definitely fell on top of a naked dude on the slippery – let him forget about that for the rest of his
life. Of course not.
Yeah, I'd rather fall on the top of a naked dude than have a naked dude fall on top of me. Right?
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
That trip, I remember that, but vaguely, I more remember us convincing Robbie that some random black person was Billy Ocean. That's what I remember more.
All right, cue up this song, Eric. I'm dying to hear it.
All right, well, this is called I Hope I Never Get So Old, featuring Gramps.
Monday morning, here you are. Hit the gas up in my car. Go to the gym to work on the bar. 8 a.m., it ain't that far. Now let's hit the showers and use all my dang on powers not to see you. Don't you know it's true? I hope I never get so old I flaunt my pain in the locker room. Don't you know it's true? Old timer, I know me and you know you. I say flea and you say flu. The balls are stuck to you like glue. Oh, I don't know who much you're on, but he's always in the sauna. Don't you know it's crude? I hope I never get so old I've flown my peen in the locker room. Don't you know it's rude?
Excuse me, sir. Do you mind just like throwing a towel on or something?
I'll throw one on you. I don't plan to put one on myself.
Can I give you my T-shirt to just wrap around yourself?
I'm perfectly happy walking around the way I am.
People don't want to see this. Can you please just wrap yourself in something?
All right. If that's the way you feel, let me find my underwear.
Gosh, do you have to bend over like that? Jesus.
Well, old timer, there you go. Oh, I know. Hide yourself, I insist so. Cover that satchel down below. Oh, I don't know why you wanna stroll around in this nude comer all afternoon. And don't you know it's true? I hope I never get so old I flaunt my peen in the locker room. And don't you know it's true?
Wow.
Well, if there's people that don't want to see it, let them stay the hell out of here.
Oh, nicely done,
my friend. Think it's a pretty catchy tune.
I think it's a number one certified hit for sure.
I was singing it all day yesterday.
It's in my head already.
Yeah, no, I love it, man.
So yeah, there it is.
Good
I could
job.
Have done it. I mean, I could have done it without Gramps, but he really is the he really just puts that nice little chef's kiss on all.
I don't
of it right
really
there.
Love the whatever
no,
the hell that is.
I love that. Gramps, what is his take on this in the chat?
He just gave us an LOL, which I didn't even know he knew what that meant. But that's all we got right now. Miggity Mac is very excited. He said Gramps crushing it.
He thinks LOL stands for Leisurely Offer Life Insurance.
Miggity Mac said, not sure why he's always surrounded by these no-talent hacks.
He's carrying us, that Gramps. Excellent job, Eric. I think it's some of your best work. And not just because of Gramps, because of your talent as well.
And I'll go back and I'll listen to the quality times that I got a lot of listening to do. I can't commit to all. Is there any I can miss? Are there any episodes that I can avoid?
You probably don't. I mean, I feel like you're not going to enjoy the Michael Winslow one as much because it's just him making noises the entire time. So you could probably be safe. Although there was a pretty cool story about him and Sam Kinison that you might like. But the last couple, I'll tell you, the last recent ones are pretty fire. So
and they're movies that I love. And here's the thing: like, I could tolerate the Michael Winslow, but there's somebody else here that literally couldn't get through. I can imagine what you would need to pay Robbie Robinson to listen to the Michael Winslow episode of either Laugh Finder or Quality Time. Robbie, don't exaggerate. Tell the truth. If I gave you $50, would you listen to it?
$100.
Okay.
He's negotiating. Never mind. You don't have to hear it.
I don't think I'll get my money's worth. It doesn't seem like a lot of very fun for me.
Yes, for us not to be there. Now, that's funny. There was something that happened. I'm trying to remember that. Do you remember, Eric? Tommy did something, and I go, that's such a Robbie Robinson thing to do because you're not going to be around to enjoy the payoff. Do you remember that? He did something that was going to affect somebody else. Do you remember what that was?
I know we talked about that.
What was that?
The long con pranks, because they are my favorite things to do as well. I love doing
if you get to see the payoff. It's almost like, you know, unscrewing the top off of a salt shaker. You're only doing that for people that you're not, you don't get to see it happen. Other people get to enjoy it, but you're not there for it. But Robbie doesn't care. He loves that. He loves to do things to people just knowing that they're out there getting fucked.
One time when I was back when I was teaching my driver improvement class and we were in somewhere and I went go in the lobby to log into my fantasy football team and it was someone else had not logged out of theirs. So I just went in the chat room and I started talking smack. And then I made some ridiculous trade offer that just would have just raked my own team. But then I don't get to see what happens because then I leave and I never know what the result.
Oh, it was somebody else's league.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I go to CBS Sportsline to log into me and they're still in theirs.
Oh, that's great.
So now I'm in their league just fucking wreaking havoc, but I can never get back to it.
It's funny because a lot of times not anymore, but I used to log on to the studio computers at 98 Rock. Uh-huh. And Marianne would still be in Gmail. And of course, I can't, all I do is say, hey, you forgot to log out of Gmail. I log her out. I can't just hose her.
No.
But if for some reason it was the great Rob Mayer, Eric Woodworth, they would pay.
We used to be on a message board, Joe and I definitely was at somebody's house, and I posted as them, a couple, saying they wanted to find somebody for a threesome.
Well, that's strong.
That's good.
The wife was not happy about it.
Was that Pam?
No.
Oh.
Somebody else.
I don't know who that would be. That was the Maryland Terrapins message board, where I met Landlord Phil, the great Phil Rhodes.
Good job. Yeah. Eric, are we done with Eric? Do we have anything else?
Yeah, you have anything else? Anything you want to say?
In closing.
No, all good, man. Thanks for having me on and playing the song. And thanks, Gramps, the guy who birthed both of you fine boys and then, let me make a song about his penis in a locker room.
Hey,
that's what he's here for.
Actually, before you go, did Erica Woodworth, your wife, listen to the episode with you and Gramps and her thoughts?
Did she listen to it? If so, we haven't broke down what happened too much. She did listen to it. And so I had to warn her. Yes. I remember what she said. She said, Rob was being a dick to me, and thank you, Eric, for defending my honor. Something
because I called her
lines.
a Karen.
You did call her a Karen, yes. And I said, hey, she's not a Karen. Mm-hmm. She's never called the police on any person. So about it. But other than that, yeah, she loved it.
Well, Mac Bergson believes that's the greatest episode of the Rob and Joe Show in history.
Yeah, well, how does that make you feel, Joe?
the same way I had felt already.
Eric, we love you. Great song. See you soon, bud.
See you, bro.
Thanks, Eric.
Later.
Now, a Karen can be more than just calling the police on black people, right? I mean, if we just eliminate it.
No, a Karen is someone who is publicly outraged. Isn't that what a Karen is?
Well, I think... yeah, but to me, it's like, I don't like this joke, so no one should be able to hear it because I don't like it.
Yes, but just how do you relay that message? You either do it on social media or you do it to a club manager, you do it to a store manager, and that's what a Karen would
like
do.
We've said that Robbie has a little Karen in him.
Oh, he definitely has a little Karen in him, for sure. I can only imagine if Robbie was at the Mahoning Inn. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can't check in early. What's your problem?
I can't bring my dog.
They definitely would have let him check in early. They definitely would have allowed him to bring his dog.
All right. I guess we should talk about how our show, September 5th at Magoobies, is in peril.
Yeah, why don't we take another break and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Deal.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So, you know, Andrew at Magoobies has been opening, basically, he's a restaurant. He's a restaurant license. That's by definition.
Well, by the way, all comedy clubs are restaurants.
Exactly.
That's what they are. They can't really make money on tickets. Those tickets go to the performers. They're there to serve their food, and that's how they make their money.
Yes. So, essentially, and he's followed every restaurant opening guideline.
Right.
And... but for whatever reason, if you're a if you're a bar, you can have a guy in the corner playing guitar singing. You can have somebody on you're one of the restaurants with somebody on piano playing.
If you're a strip club, you can have somebody showing their asshole and vagina.
You can.
And you can stay open.
Right.
Right.
Or you could be a bar and have somebody in the corner telling jokes into a mic. But you can't do those things if the draw to go to that place is the entertainment, not the food or drink. Yes.
Which is dumb as shit.
Makes no sense scientifically.
How could the draw have anything to do with, if you are respecting the rules exactly the same and they are situated exactly the same and the only difference is why people are there?
Makes no sense. I'm 6 feet away. I'm above you. I'm talking to a mic. I could have
all
COVID.
The tables are
I could have COVID.
Apart.
You're not going to get COVID.
All the tables are 6 feet apart.
Yes.
You have to wear a mask if you want to travel in the club and you go there. It's all the
they
rules
They take
are
your
exactly
temperature when you walk in. You can't
Everything
get
Everything's the same. Yeah.
But another club that's in the area that's not the DC Improv, I'll just say if you want to try to guess who's left. Look, I understand if you're a business and you're not open. But your competitor is, and maybe you think they've found some loophole or something. But anyway, I guess they made a stink, and then he is, until further notice, closed. Now,
what a fucking piece of shit. So I have a question about, so he's sure that it's this other club?
Well, he mentioned it in his Facebook post.
He
mentioned
another
club.
How do you verify that? How does he know that?
Whenever I've talked to him, he's spoken as if he knows that for
a fact. Okay, well, I mean, look, I know Andrew. If he says he knows it, he does.
Right.
I don't know why. Who knows? But he would. I don't see him as somebody who would even assume it and then make it public. He must know for a fact.
Well, he said to me he wished that, you know, maybe he and that club would have worked together in the beginning. And maybe they could have got on the same page.
So I'm not going to elaborate on this.
Maybe it's not that club. Maybe there's another club
maybe.
That he has an issue with, that's nearby. So it's not really the point of saying this, though.
Well, this, again, we won't get too political, but I was on 98 Rock a couple weeks back, and I got into a big fight with Josh Spiegel on the air. And I'm not going to elaborate. Maybe I'll elaborate on a bonus show, but it was basically about the tip line. Because right now there is a tip line in the state of Maryland. And what you can do is you can then, maybe I will elaborate on my position on this. I see you committing a coronavirus violation. You could be somebody on a deck. You could be a person. You could be a business. You could be an officer of the court. You could be anybody. And if I feel like you are in violation of whatever protocol is, then I report you on this tip line, and someone picks up the phone, they decide the merit of what I'm calling about, and then they either action it or they don't. By the way, this isn't me. This is what was reported. The maximum penalty for these violations is 1 year in jail. Now, look, by the way, I'm just telling you what people have told me. It's not hyperbole. I understand that when people say, hey, you get 10 to 20, you aren't necessary. I get all that. This is what you can do in the state of Maryland. You can pick up the phone. You can report somebody for violating rules that, and by the way, these rules are in flux. You got to think about this. Andrew thought that he was following the rules. He wasn't a guy breaking the law.
No.
He thought that he knew what the rules were and he was trying to abide.
He didn't just think he got a letter of approval from the county executive.
Right. He was attempting to abide by the rules. Someone was able to pick the phone up, call this tip line. Somebody picked up the phone, and who's picking up the phone on the tip line? Who is that person?
I don't know.
Do you know Robbie?
Hello.
Right. We have no idea. Do they know the rules, what phase we're in, and the rules are specific to that?
Right.
The rules are specific to these businesses. Are they police officers? Are they officers of the court?
Are they just somebody they hired, minimum wage?
Right. Who are these people? That person, but that's the person that says, I give this merit. So if you call and go, hey, my neighbors are out on their deck and I see 11 people. I don't know the rules, but is that, do they send somebody? Or they go, sorry, they're allowed to do that because blah, blah. I don't know. I'm sending the cops there. So that's what happens. And then what happened here is they were reported on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then I don't know if they called them and said, you have to shut down. And if you open, we will send the police. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's cool with this?
I mean, it's terrifying. So many people that so many are. I feel like people will, they want to tell on you for not wearing your mask, but why don't we tell on our leaders that keep changing the fucking rules and moving the goalposts? I mean,
well, I will say that
we're looking at the wrong people here.
There is
pull it together.
There is clearly a virus that exists. I've had it. I've had it firsthand, so I know. One variable is public safety.
Yes.
And there's 50 other variables, right? Businesses going, people's livelihoods being taken away. Their business is being shut down, right? Children not going to school.
Mm-hmm. Daycare. Mm-hmm.
Liberty.
Yeah.
Right. People not being able to watch their children because they have to work from home and now their daycares are closed. There's so many different variables. People say, well, you know, look, why don't we just do what Europe is doing? So what you think is that in
Europe, cases are now skyrocketing.
Whatever. You think everybody in Europe is smart and they're all wearing masks and they're all saying, and we're idiots. By the way, things are improving in the United States. Would you agree?
Oh, it's not even a question. Absolutely.
Do you think people are being more careful now or less careful? Because when this thing started, I wouldn't let you in my house.
I think they're being less careful.
Of course they're being less careful.
Yes.
I just went to a drive-in with 2,000 people. People are like, fuck this. I've had enough. So the fact that we're being less careful, which is clearly the case, and things are improving, all it's saying is we don't know. And since we don't, we should have a little bit of sympathy for businesses that are trying to survive. And as a result, by the way, the whole thing started out meaning there might not be a show on February 5th. I would say it's more likely
September
than not.
September 5th.
Well, look. What did I say?
I think you said February 5th. Who knows? Right. You know, at this point, we might never have Christmas again. You'll never be allowed to go in someone's house. Look, it's maddening, but I deleted Facebook off my phone. I'm not still on Facebook, but it's not on my phone. So that's just one less thing for me to scroll through and get angry at. But it's. I feel like it's some Black Mirror episode where I'm like, are people not seeing this? Like, what are you?
Well, there's been one coronavirus death, and again, we can get into that. We don't uniformly measure this. And by the way, people don't want to hear this because Mac's complaining, and I don't even want to read all this crap. But
well, at some point, did you just sit by and do nothing?
Yeah, what do you do?
I mean, we're People are committing suicide. People are fucking losing years of school. It's happening.
Suicide is up. Obviously, you're not getting the education that you've gotten. There's obviously socialization issues that we're going to have to deal with as a result of that.
Cities are dying.
We're looking at it one variable. One variable, Mac just posted in chat. If you're a store owner and someone is breaking the mask codes and you call the police, they tell you they don't answer mask violations. Okay, well, who are they, and what state are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, again, you must be talking about Florida specifically. And we just talked about this. You know, there are going to be teams that have stadiums with people in it, and there are going to be people that are playing to empty stadiums, or people are going, man, I can't believe that one team's going to have an advantage. Well, I mean, that's, again, one variable, but the real variable is, what about the employees that sell concessions? What about the people that rip your tickets? What about the people that clean up? Those people are all out of jobs right now.
Bar or restaurant that depends on a stadium business.
They don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. They don't have that. Right. Pickles downtown, all these guys, they're all nothing. Their revenue has been cut in a third. People, what do we do? Just keep giving people unemployment? Where's that money come from?
I don't know.
It's like I said, this one variable stuff where I'm listening, where I'm reading God Love Mac, but listen, though, that doesn't make any sense, what he's saying. Okay, great. The police don't come. Well, that's not what's going on in Maryland. In Maryland, if you report somebody and then they go, you know what, that doesn't sound right, and they call your business and say, if you open, we'll send the police. What's he lying? Is Andrew Unger lying about that?
No.
That's what I'm saying. That's a real thing. So whatever. You might say it's anecdotal. I say this thing that Mac just posted is anecdotal. We're in a real circumstance where they said you will be arrested or shut down if you choose to open. Guess what? We don't have a show now. Or maybe, potentially not. But we'll likely not have a show. Again, these dominoes are falling. People need to take more into consideration than one variable. And if you're not, you know, we're kind of being sold some snake oil here if we're only taking one thing into consideration. Now, if you take everything into consideration, everything that there is to factor, if you take liberty, you know, along with public safety, along with unemployment, along with suicide, along with the schools, drug overdoses, child abuse, which is also on the rise, because, you know, again, you said teachers are the people who kind of notice that, and they're the ones who are all this stuff. If you take every variable into consideration and you still believe that, hey, this is right, we shouldn't, our economy should be shut down, everything should be, if you believe that, then I'll say, okay, well, at least you're considering everything. But you got to consider everything. If you're not, it's just an irresponsible way to look at this.
I mean, if we had some sort of COVID tracker that tracked all the deaths that from the shutdown, people that not going to the hospital or get something checked that have a heart attack. Heart attacks at home are way up. All these, if there is some number that our leaders had to look at that and face with that.
Well, I don't.
Then they'd be, because they're just responding to what's not going to get them fired.
Well, this is clearly the idea that this hasn't been weaponized for one man or another. It's hard for me to remove, but I'm going to do my best to not have that.
Yes, but there's just a level of incompetence that's just true with any government bureaucracy.
Well, again, we talked about this before, but people are like, oh, well, you go to school, but car accidents aren't contagious. Okay. First of all, they are. You hit another person usually, okay? So it's like that's a dumb thing to say. But again, under the age of 44, the leading cause of death still is accidents, okay? So what that means is that if you really believe that your children shouldn't be in school because of the danger that surrounds this virus, then you are a complete hypocrite if you send them to school afterwards on a school bus.
Or just during cold and flu season.
Or if you drive them to the movies, right. Yes. You should be sitting in your house in bubble wrap if you really believe that. The median death age for this disease is 82. The median death age for everything in the United States is 78. The data that we can actually see, and by the way, that's based on what we're calling deaths. We don't even know. We've incentivized hospitals financially for including this diagnosis in the things that they do. You just posted something that's confirmed by the 60 days.
I think it might have been Arizona. Maybe it was, I can't remember.
But basically, if you had COVID within 60 days of your death, the death is attributed to COVID.
Yeah, they're not trying to hide this fact. It's not like this is some conspiracy. They're out, and it's just.
Right, that's the thing. They're not, they're being transparent.
Yes.
They are. But again, if you say, hey, there's 160,000 deaths, why are ours so much worse? you know, they're not hiding the fact that everything that has any sniff, by the way, you could be completely asymptomatic if you have it. The death is attributed to it. It's not their fault. I use Section 8 housing. I don't have it. I rent a property. And the reason I do it is because it's available. It's wrong because I get more rent than I would get through if I just privately rented that.
Right.
But if I don't do it, somebody else is going to get it. Nobody's not going to take a tax deduction that's available to them because they believe it to be unethical. Mm-hmm. Nobody's that big. So basically, if a hospital is entitled to revenue because of this, they're going to take what they're entitled to.
Of course.
That doesn't make it right. And again, this is a frustrating thing. And I see Mac complaining. He can, but here's the thing. It was funny up until now, Mac, you can just turn off all the COVID stuff. You don't have to. Well, he's listening to it live. So he's forced. Okay.
I get that. But like, you know, at some point it builds up and, you know, a week you have to have an outlet. And, you know, I can't say anything on Facebook because people lose their minds. And Twitter, you know, I just, any social media argument devolves into just worthlessness. So this is our one chance just to get it out of our system, to keep our sanity so we can be funny.
Yeah,
I need to bitch for 10 minutes once a week.
Well,
on a podcast.
Mac just said we don't know the long-term effects of people who survive. There's a million things that we don't know. Yes, you're absolutely right about that. We also don't know that if they develop a vaccine, because it has to be tested and then dispersed to mankind in 6 months, we don't know the long-term effects of that.
Yeah.
Again, you're right. There are a million variables. However, you can't just look at one and then make a decision on that. There are people that are losing their jobs, their businesses, lives are at stake in more ways than just health. People are killing themselves.
Yes.
Two people jumped off the Bay Bridge. Again, anecdotal, but they were, you know about this? This is crazy.
Yeah, I heard something about it.
This is crazy. It won't be about COVID, Mac. You relax.
But just real quick, we don't know the long-term effects, but we do know the short-term effects of what we're doing, and it's fucking catastrophic.
Of course it is, yes. Okay, we don't know the long-term effects, so let suicides go up. Let child abuse go up. Let businesses close. Yeah, of course, yes. There's
let school children without good internet just lose a year.
Yeah, right. We have to. We have to take every.
Sorry, you're poor, but you don't have a year of school.
We have to take all variables into consideration. But here's something that we'll take it outside of this. So this gentleman and his wife went up on the Bay Bridge on Thursday at 9 a.m. and they jumped. And again, I'm not quite positive about all this. So, but the wife died, but the husband, I believe, got caught in the netting or survived or whatever. So I guess he climbed back up and then he was up there. All the way until I was on the air on Friday. He was up there until he was still up there at 5 o'clock when I was on the air. I think he got down. They finally talked him down at 6. But isn't that crazy?
Jeez.
For 21 hours, they were giving him pizza when we were still on the air, trying to coax him off of the bridge. So, and the traffic going, if you're familiar with Maryland and the Bay Bridge, the traffic, that's imagine 21 hours of two lanes being, you know, not.
Right.
And people were driving by this happening while they were trying to.
Look, this is obviously complicated. There's a lot of variables. And you're not wrong to have any one particular side. It's just, let's be consistent. You know, if we're trying to save every life where possible, then this is what we do now. Every cold and flu season, we shut down. We wear a mask. We don't have large gatherings.
But you don't feel that way. Right?
No, but I'm
you
saying
wouldn't respect
if
that
that's what we think.
But we don't, and you know that. Yeah.
Of course that's ridiculous, but I don't know how that person draws that line in their head.
Look,
80,000 deaths is bad, but 40,000 I'm okay with, so I can have my New Year's Eve party. I don't know how you get to that in
your
head.
Well, there's opioid crisis in this country. There's a lot of different things that we could look at that we could say, is human life really that important? Where do we draw the line at our causes, right?
This isn't our first contagious virus. I mean, we have it every year with the flu, and it kills people. And we don't do anything different other than just
sometimes,
stay home.
You know what I do? Sometimes I don't even get a flu shot.
Right.
I mean, I should. If
but
I'm
I mean,
honest.
I'm just saying, for going forward, I feel like that maybe our lives. That's why we're talking about doing a Zoom comedy show. And part of me is like, yeah, I realize that even when we get past this, there are people that are going to not go to the city because it's violent and those businesses shut down. And they're just going to want to stay closer to home. And maybe they'll just have maybe that'll be a thing. Zoom comedy shows, Zoom concerts. Maybe that'll be a thing. And therefore, that's a market to tap into. And part of me is like, that's smart to do that. And the other part of me is like, no. Because if you fucking people would leave your house and we could get out and get past this thing, I don't want you to stay home and insist that we shut down and then get rewarded with my talent.
So Mac is just shitting on us in chat. And Gramps just said, Mac, you brighten my day. Do you know why?
Because
he gave Gramps a compliment. He's like, fuck my kid. I don't care.
I don't even know what could possibly anybody disagree with what we said.
Well, he actually does have. I'm not going to get into all that. But, I mean, listen.
I'm curious.
Well, here's the thing.
There's Max, not multiple factors?
Max, there are. Clearly there are. And Max, a bright guy. I'm not really being critical of him. But some people, they've already drawn their line in the sand. And this is the thing. You call me a hypocrite or whatever, but I was on the complete other side at the beginning of this. Remember, you wanted to come over and said, you can't come over.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
Yes.
Why would you come over here and do that?
Right.
You know, I remember running by people in the grocery store. No, I look at shit and I say, well, this is clearly bigger than this quote unquote pandemic. You understand that the symptoms are way bigger than the cause.
Yes.
The symptoms are destroying the cause. They're not even close.
Like my buddy said, and I've said it before, the country is committing suicide for fear of dying.
Yeah, it's insane. It is absolutely
insane.
But
Max in Florida, where they're beating this thing, they have herd immunity. He should be celebrating. He should be high-fiving.
He doesn't
people.
Feel that way. So obviously, maybe that's a conversation we should. Hey, you know what? Rob, see if Mac is willing to come on and talk about this. We'll do it at the end of next show.
Or a bonus show.
Yeah, or a bonus show. I'm interested as to why he doesn't believe, you know, if two states behave the exact same way, why is one horrible and one okay?
Yeah, I recognize there's a lot of smart people that have different takes that I fully don't understand. And I don't know how they see it the way they see it. But my mind is open, Mac.
All right, let's end this show.
All right. But hey. Good job, Eric. Gramps, pop star. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.